Microcosmic and macrocosmic alignment. This morning I would like to touch on the matter of egoic alignment again, showing you under the law of correspondences the universal application. It lies in geometry, or in figures and numbers. The aim of the evolution of man in the three worlds, the physical, emotional, and mental planes, is the alignment of his threefold personality with the body egoic, till the one straight line is achieved and man becomes the one. And the man becomes the one. Capital One. Each life that the personality leads is, at the close, represented by some geometrical figure, some utilization of the lines of the cube, and their demonstration in the form of some kind. Intricate and uncertain in outline and crude in design are the forms of the earlier lives. Definite and clear in the outline are the forms built by the average, advanced man of this generation. But when he steps upon the path of discipleship, the purpose consists in merging all of these many lives into one line, and gradually this consummation is achieved. The master is he who has blended all the lines of fivefold development first into three and then into one. The six-pointed star becomes the five-pointed star. The cube becomes the triangle, and the triangle becomes the one. Whilst the one, at the end of the greater cycle, becomes a point in the circle of manifestation. Hence the effort made to teach all devotees simplicity based on a trinity of foundation truths and the inculcation of one-pointedness. Each life tends to greater stability, but seldom is the threefold personality yet to be found lined up, if so I may put it, with the causal consciousness. Temporary moments occur when this is the case and when, in moments of highest aspiration and for purposes of unselfish endeavor, the higher and the lower form a line direct. Usually, the emotional body, through violent emotion and vibration, or a fluctuating restlessness, is continuously out of alignment. Where the emotional body may be momentarily aligned, then the mental body acts as an obstruction, preventing the percolation down from the higher to the lower, and so to the physical brain. It takes many lives of strenuous endeavor before the emotional body can be stilled, and a mental body built that will act as a filter and not an impediment. Even when this has been somewhat accomplished and the emotional body is stabilized and a pure reflector, and the mental body serves the purpose of a sensitive plate and discriminator, and the intelligent explainer of higher imparted truth, even then, I say, it takes much discipline and many lives of effort to align the two at the same time. When it is done, the control of the physical brain and its final alignment remain to be effected, so that it may act as a direct receiver and transmitter of the imparted teaching, and may reflect with accuracy the higher consciousness. Wherein, therefore, lies the macrocosmic correspondence? Where is the analogy in the solar system? An indication I give here, in the direct alignment of certain planets in the process of systemic evolution, with each other, and with the sun comes logoic or divine alignment. Think this out, but one word of warning I give. Seek not to work out hypothesis of alignment based on the physical planets. The truth lies not there. Only three of the physical planets, and those in the etheric matter, enter into the final alignment that marks the attainment by the logos of the cosmic egoic consciousness, which is his goal of attainment. Of these three, the Earth is not one, but Venus has her place, corresponding to the emotional permanent atom. Further still, the alignment may be progressed in the alignment of our solar system with the system of Sirius lies a still more remote goal. It is a point far ahead of time, but holds the secret of the greater cycle. And this is letter two, the importance of meditation. Let us today take up the consideration of the first point. What makes meditation of importance? The emphasis upon the importance of meditation follows naturally upon the realization by the student of the absolute necessity for the domination of the personality by the ego. Man at this time is engaged in many pursuits, and through the force of circumstances, he is polarized entirely in the lower self, that polarization being in either the emotional or mental body. One point of interest I would like to indicate. As long as the polarization is purely physical or purely emotional, no need for meditation is ever felt. Even when the mental body is active, no urge arises until the man has ran through the many changes in many lives, has tasted the cup of pleasure and of pain through many incarnations, has sounded the depths of the life lived entirely for the lower self, and found it unsatisfying. Then he begins to turn his thought to other things, to aspire to that which is unknown, to realize and sense within himself the pairs of opposites, and to contact within his consciousness possibilities and ideals undreamt of hitherto. He has come to a point where success, popularity, and diverse gifts are his, and yet from their use he derives no content. Always the urge within persists, until the pain is so severe that the desire to reach out and up, to ascertain something and someone beyond, overcomes all obstacles. The man begins to turn within, and to seek the source from whence he came. Then he begins to meditate, to ponder, to intensify vibration, until in process of time he garners the fruits of meditation. And then it says here, four things that meditation does. One, it enables man to contact the ego and to align the three lower bodies. It puts man into an attitude of equilibrium, neither utterly receptive and negative, nor utterly positive, but at the point of balance. Thus is afforded the opportunity to the ego and later to the master to disturb that equilibrium and to tune the quiescent vibration to a higher note than before. So important and so subtle what was just said by the author. Thus is afforded the opportunity to the ego to disturb that equilibrium and to tune the quiescent vibration to a higher note than heretofore. So it's possible in meditation when you become neutral, you develop a balance and harmony, and you begin to have an affinity for that state of neutrality. You become much more aware, first off, just overall, much more observant of everything, of every sensory impulse, you know. You become 10 times more observant, everything becomes more heightened, because you're resting in the pureness of duration, in the pure equilibrium of infinitude, you know? Infinity has to be perfectly equal, has to be perfectly in equilibrium at all times, otherwise it will throw off balance and destroy itself. So there's a perfect equilibrium which can be reached. Resting in that equilibrium and becoming way more observant allows you to become much more aware of things that disturb that equilibrium. When you become more aware of the things that disturb that equilibrium in your daily life or in your mental processes, emotional habits, whatever it might be, physical habits, when you become aware of things that disturb that equilibrium in the more heightened state, it allows you to alchemize those inconsistencies which have been developing from bad habits and to maintain that equilibrium and to become that equilibrium indeed. And to cause the consciousness to vibrate to a newer and higher measure. And to swing, if I so may express it, into the periphery of the threefold spirit. By the constant practice of this, the whole point of equilibrium is gradually shifted higher and higher until the time comes when the lower point of attraction in the swinging and adjustment is not the physical, touches not the emotional, contacts not the mental, the causal body even escaping, and the man is polarized in the spiritual consciousness from thenceforth. This marks the fourth initiation. After that initiation, the adept makes for himself a body of manifestation, a free creation. There is nothing in him to call into an objective a body for use in the three lower worlds evolved under the law of causes. It stabilizes the lower vibrations on the subplanes of the emotional and mental planes. It commences the work of attuning the self to the vibration of the third subplane on each of the three lower planes until that subplane is dominated. The second subplane is then the next to be synchronized. A man reaches the point of personality attainment in this cycle when he has the capacity to vibrate and move consciously on the fourth subplane. We might turn the fourth subplane on the physical, emotional, and mental plane when dominated, aligned, and functioning simultaneously in the same incarnation, the plane of perfected personality. In the concrete sense of the word and from the lower vision, that particular incarnation will be one in which the man achieves the fullest expression of his lower self, physically perfect, emotionally vibrant, and mentally colossal. Then succeeding that begins the transference to a higher vibration, the keying up to the higher self, and the attuning of the personality, or the major third, to the dominant fifth, of the ego. It assists in the transference, it assists in the transference of the polarization from one of the permanent atoms of the personality into the corresponding atom in the spiritual triad. Very interesting. Later, I will elucidate on this further. Hence may easily be seen the essential nature of meditation and its wise, diligent, and serious following. Early in experience, after the attainment of the highest the lowest nature has to offer, man begins to meditate. Disorderly are his first attempts, and sometimes several incarnations may go by, in which the higher self only forces the man to think and seriously to meditate at rare and separated intervals. More frequently comes the occasions of withdrawing within, until there arises for the man several lives given to mystic meditation and aspiration, culminating usually in a life given entirely to it. It marks the point of highest emotional aspiration, apart from the scientific application of the law via the mental body. These laws are those governing the true occult meditation. Behind each of you who are working definitely under one of the masters lie two lives of culmination, the life of worldly hypothesis and the life of intensest meditation along the mystic or emotional intuitional line. This meditative life was taken either in a monastery or nunnery in Middle Europe by those linked with the Master Jesus and his disciples, or in India, Tibet, or China by the pupils of Master Moria or Master Kutumi Lao Sing. Now comes all of you the most important series of lives, to which the previous points of culmination were but stepping stones. In the lives immediately ahead of those upon the path will come the final achievement through the instrumentality of the ordered occult meditation based on law. For some few may have come attainment in this life or the next, for others shortly in other lives. For a few, their lives ahead in the attainment of this mystic method to be the basis on later the occult or mental method. Alright, so that's all I'm going to read for now. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Okay, when you guys... Okay, just let's do just like a normal breathing. I want you guys to practice the fourfold breath for a moment, where you inhale for a count of four, hold your lungs for a count of four, exhale for a count of four, keep your lungs empty for a count of four, and repeat that. So, just freaking reading right now. I was making a DVD. Yeah, I'm gonna freaking sell this DVD, but yeah, what's up, man? Any buds? I'm cool now. I got some buds from Grant. I need to get a hold of that guy though. I hit him up yesterday to get 10 clones, but he didn't stop by. I got those 10 10 bags just filled up with they're ready to go. I mean, I don't know about the weather though. I was thinking they probably survive. I mean, you know, they'd probably survive, you know, like, it's not, like, raining that bad. In the first one, yeah, I'll take a look at the weather and see what it's gonna be like, but I still want to get those, though. Well, I mean, even if the weather's gonna be shitty, I could put him inside under a light and get him growing a little bit, you know? I have like a little desk light I think I was using before. It works fine. Like it's like one of those like fluorescent lights. Yeah, it's pretty light. It's not like ridiculously, but it works.
Alright,
I got another $300 order for my services, so I could probably put down some more on bags and dirt too. Yeah, I mean, I just finished up with the last of the 10 bags, so four yards is what you need for 10 bags. We should. We'll have it done. Let me look at this. I'm looking at a 10-day overview of the weather on the Weather Channel. It says it could be friggin' raining all the way to the 28th, it says. Shit. I guess it's not gonna affect it that much to wait like 5 days or whatever. We'll figure it out. Alright, hit me up sometime today. Alright, man. Later. Relax all of the tension in your body. Let all of your muscles relax. Make sure you're sitting in a position where your spine is straight but not rigid or uncomfortable. Completely still, as if the physical body was a statue. Keep your attention only on your breath now. You're gonna stop counting, but just be aware of the breath. Take slow and deep breaths, such that you can't even hear yourself breathing because they are so slow and soft. Envision you are breathing. Breathing in white light from a huge, shimmering cloud of etheric energy encompassing the whole earth. Breathe it in through the third eye. And exhale downwards to the physical matter. Into the third eye and down to the heart. As you breathe in this gold, shimmering cloud of light, your physical brain begins to become soaked drenched in a golden, superconducive aether. Yes, let the tingles float over you like a cosmic bubble bath. All space is energy. The tingles you're feeling is the matter that you're actually creating by force of attraction, cohesion. You're becoming magnetized. Pulling the fine matter to you. From the furthest reaches of our dodecaverse. inner stillness, allow your sense of separation to dissipate in this ocean of bliss that is within and all around you. Don't seek to define your experience. Don't seek to expect anything. Just breathe in this nectar. Knowing that all is one. Okay, so thank you all guys for joining me today. There will be another meditation just like today's tomorrow for members of the website alchemymeditations.com, and another group meditation for everybody on Wednesday And next Saturday. So see you guys. Blessings to you all.